and Pacifica Radio for decades.
We're looking to the community to find hard-working people to run for the local station board.
KPFT FM dial par iski ek misal banna chahta hai.
The KPFT Elections Committees is seeking qualified candidates with diverse cultural and racial background, sexual orientation, and economic circumstances.
KPFT wants to become the model of inclusion on Houston's FM radio dial.
If you'd like to run for election or join the Elections Committee, please contact Dennis Fetters at 713-526-4000
or email elections@kpft.org.
This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston.
First you listen, then you fall in love, you have your favorite programs that you listen to each and every week, and finally you do the right thing by calling in that pledge of support to KPFT. You feel great, but guess what? Your job, it's not done just yet. You still need to fulfill your promise to KPFT by sending that pledge payment today. And when you do, you take that often forgotten last step. Don't wait any longer. KPFT depends on you.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. It's 73 degrees here in Houston, and Queer Voices is up next after the BBC News. Tonight, we're going to be talking to David Elliott, who's going to give us a national report, probably talking about the upcoming presidential election. Then we'll have David Daniels on here from the Houston Opera, and he's going to be talking about what he's going to be doing. And Pat Gandy will be here in the second hour talking about the Lesbian Health Initiative, and Glenn Maxey will be talking about probably Howard Dean election. And then we have an author who's going to be talking about divorce unveiled through poetry. All that's coming up right after the news. Now we go to the BBC in London.
BBC News with Jonathan Izard. The United States Senate has given final approval to President Bush's huge emergency funding package for Iraq and Afghanistan. The total amounts to nearly $90 billion, with more than $18 billion for Iraqi reconstruction. It becomes Washington's most ambitious rehabilitation project since the Marshall Plan, dealing with Europe after the Second World War. Ian Pannell reports from Washington.
There was never any real doubt that the White House wouldn't get its request for extra funds passed. But that doesn't mean the process has been without dissent. Most of the money will pay for the continuing costs of the military occupation of Iraq and ongoing operations in Afghanistan. This was the least controversial part of the package, primarily because few politicians were prepared to criticize funding for troops abroad. However, the aid part of the request prompted anger both in Congress and in the country. Although an attempt to turn grant money into loans was unsuccessful, more than $1.5 billion has been cut from the final package.
A series of explosions has shaken the center of Baghdad. An American spokesman said three projectiles had been fired, one hitting a military facility. There were no reports of injuries or damage. South of the Iraqi capital, a bomb exploded in the city of Karbala. And in the southern city of Najaf, gunmen abducted and murdered a judge who had been investigating alleged crimes committed by Saddam Hussein's regime. President Bush, who was giving his first public reaction to the killing of 16 American soldiers on Sunday, said America would never run away from its task of making Iraq free. Shares in Russia's largest company, Yukos, have risen by 12% following the resignation of its jailed chief executive, the billionaire businessman Mikhail Khodorkovsky. Mr. Khodorkovsky, who's been held on charges of fraud and tax evasion, said he now planned to dedicate himself to his Open Russia Foundation, an organization he said is aimed at building an open and properly democratic Russia. From Moscow, Steve Rosenberg reports.
Just over 1 week after he was arrested and thrown in jail, Russia's richest tycoon has resigned as head of the oil company, which made him a multi-billionaire. In a statement, Mikhail Khodorkovsky said he had hoped to turn Yukos into one of the world's leading energy companies. The current situation, he said, forced him to give up plans of being personally involved in the company's future, a reference to his detention and the case launched by prosecutors against Yukos. As chief executive, Mr. Khodorkovsky explained he felt he had to do all he could to protect the workforce from what he described as the blows against him and his business partners.
You're listening to the news from the BBC in London. A row has developed over the man chosen to head one of Britain's leading companies. The satellite broadcaster BSkyB has appointed James Murdoch, the younger son of the media tycoon Rupert Murdoch, as its new chief executive, despite concern among some shareholders. Rupert Murdoch is chairman of BSkyB, in which his global company News Corporation owns a 35% stake, and there are suspicions that James was given the job only because of who his father is. Peter Montagnier from the Association of British Insurers, which represents institutional investors, said he doubted whether James Murdoch had the experience needed for the job.
There has got to be a certain amount of scepticism about putting a 30-year-old in charge of a company this size. I know he may be very talented and he may have illustrious origins, but he's still only 30 and it's quite a big gamble to take. And from that point of view alone, I think shareholders need a lot of convincing.
European Union finance ministers have postponed a decision on whether to punish France for violating European budget deficit rules. At a meeting in Brussels, the ministers decided to allow the French government more time to draw up measures to further cut the deficit, which has for 2 years been above a limit established to protect the euro. There's been widespread condemnation from European Union leaders of the results of an opinion poll which found that nearly 60% of EU citizens believe Israel to be a threat to world peace. The Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi, whose country currently holds the European Union presidency, has phoned his Israeli counterpart, Ariel Sharon, to express surprise and indignation over the poll. Earlier, the Israeli embassy in Brussels said the findings of the survey were sad and dangerous. The European Commission President, Romano Prodi, said the survey indicated prejudice, which must be condemned without hesitation. Officials from the United States, Japan, South Korea and Europe are meeting in New York to discuss what to do about the building of North Korea's nuclear power station. Construction work is continuing on one of North Korea's reactors as part of a 1994 anti-nuclear agreement under which Pyongyang was supposed to end its nuclear weapons program. The officials are expected formally to suspend the work on the power station in the near future because of North Korea's declaration that it's still developing nuclear weapons. BBC News.
This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valinsky.
And I'm Joan Devlin.
And everybody else is sort of busy twiggling dials and stuff like that. Tonight, we're going to be talking to David Elliott very shortly and talking about the national issues. And then JD is going to be interviewing David Daniels. Which, give us a little brief.
He's an opera diva starring at the Houston Grand Opera in their brand new production of Julius Caesar. He did two performances this weekend. It's a big deal.
And then in the second hour, well, actually, in the end of the first hour, we'll be doing news wrap, which usually we do next, but we're going to hold that up a little bit. At 9 o'clock, we are going to be talking to Pat Gandy, who's going to be talking about the Lesbian Health Initiative. And then Glenn Maxey will join us because he's going to be talking about the Howard Dean for President and probably talk a little bit about the elections. And then at 9:30 approximately.
Yes, we're going to have a very special guest. This is an author. She is local. She has written a book about going through divorce. It includes essays from same-sex couples. She is a friend of Sarah Gish's. And I will have her introduce herself to you more fully when she shows up around 9:30 tonight.
And then this way out near the end of the show is going to be covering Reverend Gene Robinson, the first openly gay bishop of the church up in New Hampshire. So it's got a pretty full show tonight. Let's now go to David Elliott. And David, what's going on?
Well, good evening, Jack. Guess what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow is Election Day, absolutely. And I want to remind all of our listeners that if you want to see who the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus has endorsed, and if you're not voting at 34, because I'll be out in front of 34 all day tomorrow, which is just down the street here, the endorsements are, you can go to the Queer Voices site, queervoices.org, or hgopc.org.
Or they're in the Texas Triangle this week as well.
And probably also The Voice. Yes, they earned The Voice also. So, yes, let's talk about the elections.
Well, you know, tomorrow Houston is having its elections. The state of Texas is having its elections on the constitutional amendment issues. There are not a whole lot of high-profile elections going on across the country. We have a couple of governor's races that the Democrats are going to lose in Kentucky and Mississippi. But, you know, I want to focus, if I could, on what happens 52 weeks from tomorrow.
Okay.
And do you know what that is?
Well, that's another election. In fact, later on in the show, we're going to have Glenn Maxey on, who's going to probably be talking about Howard Dean.
Well, I was going to mention that. In fact, I used to cover Representative Maxey, the former Representative Maxey, when I was a reporter in Austin. And I'm a great admirer of his. You know, some of your listeners might not know that before Representative Maxey won a hotly contested race in South Austin to become the first openly gay member of Texas's legislature, he was a key part of getting Ann Richards elected in 1990. But what I wanted to talk to you about as sort of a lead-in, if I may, to Representative Maxey's appearance, is who are the gay and lesbian leaders supporting in the Democratic presidential primary that's coming up? You know, we've got the Iowa caucuses only 3 months from now, and then the New Hampshire primary, and then March, you know, Texas votes, and we get into it in a big way. And we only have a couple of minutes tonight, because I understand that your show is very tight on schedule tonight. But I wanted to, if I could, give you a quick rundown of who some of the major gay and lesbian civil rights leaders and cultural leaders are supporting in terms of the presidential candidates. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. It looks right now that a plurality of the people whose names your listeners would probably recognize are supporting Howard Dean for president, with John Kerry coming in right behind at number two. Some of the folks who are supporting Howard Dean, of course, you know about Representative Maxey, also Melissa Etheridge, singer, political activist, Tom Amiano, a San Francisco supervisor.
Who's running for mayor also in
running
San Francisco.
Running for mayor, exactly. B. Van Clark, another San Francisco supervisor, Jeffrey Prang, mayor of West Hollywood, California, a Dallas City Council member by the name of Ed Oakley, Robert Gant, who is a cast member of the Queer as Folk TV show.
Yes, he was here in Houston for Pride.
Right. Donna Redwing, who helped organize the MOW, the Millennium March on Washington, a few years back. And also, and this is one of the most notable names supporting Howard Dean, Julian Potter, former White House Director of Gay and Lesbian Outreach under the Clinton administration, and he was also very high up in the Gore campaign. Now, John Kerry also has a number of big names in terms of lesbian and gay leaders supporting him. He has Congressman Bernie Frank. He has Campbell Spencer, who is the former gay lesbian outreach director for the DNC, the Democratic National Committee. He has Mark Lino, California State Assembly member from San Francisco, also, I think, a former mayoral candidate, if I'm not mistaken. He's got Gloria Nieto, a DNC member from New Mexico, right next door to Texas. He has a woman by the name of Rachel Morse, who is the chairwoman of the Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender Caucus from Young Democrats of America out of Oklahoma. Dennis Kucinich also is attracting some support from the cultural arena. He mm-hmm. is Ani DeFranco, lesbian singer and songwriter, and Sabrina Matthews, who is a lesbian comic out of Los Angeles. Then we've got Joe Lieberman, Carol Mosley Braun, Reverend Sharpton. None of those candidates are doing really, really well in terms of attracting gay and lesbian support. Dick Gephardt has some big names. He has, for instance, David Mixner, who was a very high-level Clinton and Gore campaign aide in 1992, 1996, 2000. He's written a fascinating book, a great book, and he is actually co-chair of the Gephardt presidential campaign. Gephardt also has his daughter, Chrissy Gephardt, who is an open lesbian, and is director of gay and lesbian outreach for the Gephardt campaign. So really, there are a lot of choices.
Well, but the big question is, who's supporting Bush?
Well,
that's a short list, huh?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that, because there was just a front page, in fact, lead article in this past week's Washington Blade, talking about how the two leading gay Republican groups, one of which, of course, is Log Cabin Republicans, and the other is, oh gosh, I have to apologize.
I don't know who that would be.
Well, the other group, their name escapes me, the Republican Unity Coalition, something like that.
Okay.
They are actually at least temporarily withholding their endorsement of Bush's reelection campaign because of the way, the kind of wink, wink, nod, nod type of support that Bush has given toward a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. And for this is extremely significant.